Are you the Oklahoma City Bomber?
Maybe one of the benefits of me talking to you today is that you'll see that maybe not everything is true that you've heard about me.
On the morning of April 19, 1995, a decorated Gulf War combat vet blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City using a truck bomb that he didn't build and a Ryder truck that he didn't rent with the help of a passenger who didn't exist. Having just gotten away with the largest act of terrorism on U.S. soil to date, the Fort Bragg-trained Special Forces Sheep Drip dropout blended in with the crowd by making his getaway in a car without a license plate and was immediately pulled over. The ATF was the supposed target of the attack, but luckily all of their agents were out of the office that morning. Later that day, the president boldly declared,
"We will find the people who did this."
And
when we do, justice will be swift, certain, and severe.
Except for
John Doe number two.
John Doe number two.
John Doe number two.
Who, according to the FBI, never existed. In McVeigh's unprecedented 3.5-week trial, the prosecution didn't show the CCTV footage of him and John Doe number two parking the Ryder truck. Didn't explain why 24 separate witnesses mass hallucinated the existence of John Doe number two. Didn't explain why the government was testing truck bombs and the army was storing Ryder trucks at Camp Gruber right before the bombing, and didn't talk to the FBI informants who blew the whistle on the plot. But they did collaborate with the CIA, and they did convict McVeigh as the lone wolf bomber and Terry Nichols as his bomb-constructing accomplice. Still, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists, including 300 bombing victims, insist on talking about facts and evidence and refuse to simply believe what they've been told a million times by people in tailored suits with well-coiffed hair. They quote the U.S. Army Brigadier General and the FBI Crime Lab whistleblower and the inventor of the neutron bomb who point out the physical impossibility that the Ryder truck bomb did the damage to the building, but that doesn't matter because if there were other bombs in the building that day, we would have heard about them.
The second explosive was found and defused.
I think he said another bomb.
The Justice Department is reporting that a second explosive device has been found.
They then found a third device, which was also larger than the first.
And I see another bomb truck going, so apparently they're going to try to get out that third bomb.
The FBI claims to have lost the footage showing McVeigh and John Doe number two parking the truck in front of the Murrah building that morning, but that's understandable because the Bureau has a lot of important evidence to store. Terry Nichols insists the FBI was involved in the plot, but thankfully a judge has saved us the trouble of listening to him by preventing lawyers from deposing him. There was a bomb squad truck parked across the street 2 hours before the blast, but that just shows the authorities were prepared for anything. And
other documents obtained by 2020 show that someone called the Executive Secretariat's office at the Justice Department in Washington and said the Morrow building had been bombed. But this was 24 minutes before the blast.
But that just shows the public was unusually vigilant that morning. Also,
apparently, before the bombing, Governor Frank Keating's brother, Mark, had been working on a novel about a terrorist bombing in Oklahoma City. Stranger still, one of the characters in the novel was named Thomas McVeigh.
But that's probably just a coincidence. McVeigh wrote a letter to his sister where he admitted to being a secret special forces operative and he complained to friends of the pain in his ass from an army-implanted microchip, but that's crazy because if he didn't actually leave the army in 1991, there would be proof of that. McVeigh was not executed on May 16th, 2001 as scheduled because
the FBI had failed to turn over thousands of pages of evidence to McVeigh's defense attorneys.
But the execution went ahead on June 11th. In a highly unusual and secret agreement, no autopsy was performed. One witness said he was still breathing, and the prison officials admitted his hearse was a decoy. Then, the case was officially closed. And if you question any part of this story, you are a paranoid, wingnut, birther, truther, tenther, prepper, conspiracy loon who'd bring up any of these points ever again. Ever. This message has been brought to you by the friends of the FBI, ATF, DOJ, CIA, SPLC, MSN, and the U.S. Army.
Tim, his family had lived in central Oklahoma for four generations. According to his family, Tim loved Army life and planned to re-enlist. Hardly the profile of a dangerous criminal.
Poignant sight, that is.
Peel back a layer, though, and a quirky cast of characters emerges.
It just kept falling. It was a horrible noise. Horrible noise.
What did it sound like?
I don't know. I didn't hear a noise. It was horrible noise.
What did it sound like?
I don't know. I didn't hear a noise. Where I was sitting was the only place the floor didn't cave in. I mean, right over here, the floor was gone.
So the floor that you were sitting on didn't cave
but all around you it did?
No, where my little area where I was sitting.
But the... I was on the 7th floor, and then, of course, the 8th floor came down and went through, and then they just kept on going down.
Dr. Rick Nelson spent most of yesterday in the rubble helping to locate survivors.
I found myself this morning looking back at things and thinking of things that I didn't really think about during the thing, and tears still come to my eyes.
An incredibly tangled web of lies, half-truths, and innuendos. What makes this story even more disturbing, however, is where it all may lead.
All my friends are missing. I don't know where any of them are.
It's what you're...
They're unable to reach these people, or the ones that we have been, that they have been discovering. Excuse me. We can't provide help for. I mean, they're beyond help. They're dead.
Cunningly conceived and executed without remorse.
I just woke up and I tore through glass. I didn't know what was going on. I just got out.
She had the desk with the office with the window. So she was right on the edge of the blast. She had the desk with the office with the window. So she was right on the edge of the blast.
I thought this appointment. It's on the first floor. We're still missing. No one's found them. No one's seen them. Their names are not on any lists.
At the apex of this explosive triangle, a taxi cab came up the road.
Was back. So many cars parking on the street.
So many cars. That was unusual.
Yeah, it's unusual. So many cars. Early this morning, early in the morning like that, you don't see too many cars.
And a few minutes after you dropped the lady off, the explosion came.
Yeah.
You didn't see a yellow Ryder van?
I didn't see anything.
A routine traffic violation would be the beginning of the end for Tim. Oakland PD.
Timothy McVeigh was arrested by local authorities.
The suspect, Timothy McVeigh, had earlier received training in psychological operations in the Army, which involved mind-bending techniques that many have been adversely affected by.
The jury heard testimony to determine his sentence.
Today, the man who killed those people on schedule, injunction, and no member of his family was in attendance. Timothy McVeigh was 33 years old, and defiant to the end.
Timothy McVeigh was 33 years old.
The coroner agreed to no autopsy following Timothy McVeigh's execution, and it was known Timothy McVeigh's hearse was a decoy. So how do you know he's dead?
Here is a photograph taken just days before his disappearance. And here is what he might look like today.
Enter Special Agent Paul Weissenberg. Very little is known of his background, but he was in charge of a staged event in Florida regarding the Orlando nightclub.
As we learn more details about those terrifying hours inside Pulse nightclub.
Well, they said there's a lot of at the club. That's a crime scene. So it could be hours and hours before we find out. The hospital said that there are some at the hospital that came in and they died. And they're not identifiable yet either. And then there are a few that are condition that aren't identified yet.
Christine, I'm so sorry.
There is no proof, unless you believe the accounts of those who have reason to lie. Those who possess specific knowledge and insight is truly an unsolved mystery. Life was scripted like a Hollywood movie. Tim was not who he appeared to be. maddening scarcity of evidence is limited to assumptions and speculation. Without a fingerprint, hoax attempted to construct the profile of a killer. Final hours remain shrouded in mystery. Did he invent a tale of undercover intrigue and then stage a death? It is considered to be their best hope for a positive identification.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you been paying attention to the news lately? After the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, we were bombarded with anti-patriot, anti-militia, anti-constitutionalists, that's people who believe in the Constitution for the United States of America, anti-American propaganda. And then when the execution of Timothy McVeigh occurred, once again, prior to immediately following, the same thing occurred again, and this word extremist was used over and 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 over again. And now we're being bombarded with messages that Osama bin Laden is planning to attack the United States of America and Israel. And I'm telling you, be prepared for a major attack. But it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order who once again want to take the guns and the freedom away from the American people, because we're the only ones left in the world who can oppose the destruction of freedom in the world and the implementation of a one-world totalitarian socialist government, and that is the goal. Now, how stupid can you be to believe that Timothy McVeigh was the mastermind of the destruction of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, and just he and Terry Nichols, who appears to be somewhat of a fool, plotted, planned, obtained all the different materials, put together a bomb of such force that it brought down what we call in the military a hard target, a target held up by steel, reinforced, concrete columns, and he had no help. No help. And that there really was no person called John Doe number two, that was all a mistake, and the drawings and the pictures they put out were not real people, and they're, you know, that was all a mistake. Well, I know that's a lie because Michael Brescia, who is John Doe number two, the spitting image of the drawings that they put out, wearing the exact same cap that was worn by the man in the drawings that they put out, with the same tattoo on his left arm, stood in front of me for 10 minutes and talked to me in the company of Timothy McVeigh. And Tim McVeigh was not the leader. Tim McVeigh probably didn't say more than 25 or 30 words during the entire time. Michael Brescia did all of the talking. And the last thing he said before they left in their green Mercury Marquis station wagon with a puke yellow interior was, "Watch Oklahoma City." If anyone was in charge, at least on that day, it was Michael Brescia, John Doe number two, not ever Timothy McVeigh. They told us during that conversation that they were setting out on a mission to make things better in this country, and that they had the approval of the United States Army, who had implanted them with computer chips, had given them their blessings, and knew exactly where they were and what they were doing all the time. Michael Brescia showed me a place behind his left shoulder and said there was a computer chip that had been implanted under his skin by the United States Army. I felt it. There was something under his skin. Without a doubt, it was hard. It felt like it was square. It wasn't very big. But I do not personally know what it was. Timothy McVeigh said he had one implanted in his buttock and wanted me to confirm that it was actually there. I declined for obvious reasons. I wish today that I had not been so squeamish. I wish that I had personally checked his buttock to make sure that there was indeed something implanted where he said that it was. But I did not. So I cannot vouch that there was anything in Timothy McVeigh's buttock, but there definitely was something behind Michael Brescia's left shoulder. Now, lest you think that I'm making all of this up, there were a total of 8 people, including me, not counting Timothy McVeigh and Michael Brescia, in the research center when Tim Lesperance brought them in to introduce them to us. Tim Lesperance is one of those people. His son Peter was there. His wife Katie runs Katie's Country Kitchen. Used to be in St. John's. I believe it's now in Snowflake, Arizona. Granny Gosling was there. She was in her 80s. I don't know if she's still alive or not. I pray and hope that she is. But then she was in poor health, so she may have died since then. Mark Chow. Michael Aponte. His wife, Sharon, were all there. They were working on the newspaper, Veritas. They took part in the conversation. They listened. We all gathered round. There were 2 other visitors to the research center that day. One, I believe I can find his identity in our database because he was a member of our intelligence organization and had donated some tables and file cabinets. The other, I don't remember who he was or where he came from or anything. He was just there. Maybe somebody else does. So I was not the only witness there. So, FBI Director Free, you are a damn bold-faced liar when you claim that there is no John Doe number two, and that you claim that you do not know who he is. He's a federal informant, and that's why, shortly after they issued the drawings identifying John Doe number two, the FBI supervisors told all their agents to stop looking for him and to forget about him. He did not exist. Because all of a sudden, they realized that John Doe number two was one of their very own informants. And that he was already in protective custody. Louis free, you are a bold-faced liar. The FBI is a subversive organization, has been for many, many years. They are a partner in taking down this country. Timothy McVeigh did not plan, nor did he put together, nor did he blow up the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, although he was a witting fool recruited by someone on the grounds of patriotism. I'm sure he was told that he was going to help squash internal dissidents and terrorism in this country. I'm also sure that he didn't believe that the bomb was really going to go off. I'm sure, I'm certain, just as sure as the day I'm standing here, that he probably believed that if it did go off, it would go off before anyone reported to work, or he believed that it would never go off at all. Why would he take credit for it when he's on death row and he knows he's going to be executed? Hell. Why not at that point? But I don't think he did it for that reason. I think he played his role right to the very end. And I think the reporter that reported what she saw and the other reporters who said they never could tell if Timothy McVeigh actually died or not, there was never a point where they could tell that he was dead. And she said that even after, listen to me, even after he was pronounced dead, he was still breathing. He was still breathing. Dead men don't breathe. No coroner, no doctor, nobody in the world can explain that. Nobody. Now we know that she is changing her testimony because somebody got to her and she's scared. And you can hear it in her voice. I spoke to her personally. And as soon as I brought up the subject, you could hear her voice changed, and there was fear, deadly fear in her voice. And she never denied what she had originally said. But she told me that she had probably misinterpreted what she saw. Typical of the history of these people. She knows if she sticks to what she told in the beginning is the truth, she will surely die. If you listen to the testimony of all the other witnesses, they said the same thing. There was no point where they could ever tell that Timothy McVeigh was dead. Well, if I was standing there watching, I would know when he was dead. He would be dead when he quit breathing. That's what I would watch for. That's what any sane, intelligent person would watch for. But no one who watched Timothy McVeigh's execution could tell us that he ever stopped breathing. Nobody. Nor could anyone tell us that they actually saw a point where they knew that he was dead. Until they were told by the medical examiner who pronounced him dead that he was dead. And then they believed it only because he told them, not because they had any proof that it was true. There was no autopsy. The body was straight from the prison, or so they tell us, to a morgue where it was instantly cremated. How could they do that in a state that requires all homicides to be autopsy. What is a homicide? Any death brought about by the hand of man, including executions. Whoa! How about that? Did you know that the state wherein he was executed requires all homicides to undergo an autopsy? Yet that did not happen in that state. Why? Because the feds claimed jurisdiction and it was not a state execution. Now, get this, folks. The feds have no jurisdiction over anything that happened in Oklahoma City on April the 19th, 1995. Period. The ground that the federal courthouse sits upon, or the federal building, I should say, was never deeded and ceded by the legislature of the state of Oklahoma to the federal government. Therefore, the federal government had no jurisdiction whatsoever over that crime. The Constitution states unequivocally that a criminal shall be tried in the state wherein the crime occurred. Yet he was tried in Colorado. Where was he executed? He wasn't executed in Oklahoma or Colorado. How about that? No autopsy. Instant cremation. Sound familiar? Complete devastation of all of the evidence of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. No independent, no outside, no civilian, no state investigation was allowed of the bombing site whatsoever. The building was razed, blown up, and guess how they had to blow it up to bring it down? They had to put shaped charges on the remaining pillars to bring that building down. Heck, why didn't they do just like Tim McVeigh did and pull up with a, you know, Ryder rent-a-truck and with 4,000 pounds of bullshit in it and light a match? Why indeed? Why didn't they just stack up some fertilizer inside and blow those up? Because you can't blow up a hard target with a cratering charge, which is what fertilizer is. Ammonium nitrate.
So, we must ask ourselves, what is the dictionary definition of terrorism? The systematic use of terror, especially as a means of coercion. But what is terror? According to the dictionary I hold in my hand, terror is violent or destructive acts, such as bombing, committed by groups in order to intimidate a population or government into granting their demands. So what's a terrorist?
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terror is. When they put it on me, I tell them this, I'm all about peace and love. They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terror is. Insulting my intelligence, oh, how these people judge.
It seems like the ragheads and packies are worrying your dad, but your dad's favorite food is curry and kebab. It's funny but it's sad how they make your mommy hurry with her bags, rather read the sun and study all the facts. Tell me, what's the bigger threat to human society? BAE systems or homemade IEDs, remote controlled drones, killing off human lives, or man with homemade bomb committing suicide? I know you were terrified when you saw the towers fall. It's all terror, but some forms are more powerful. It seems nuts, how could there be such agony when more Israelis die from peanut allergies? It's like the definition didn't ever exist. I guess it's all just dependent who your nemesis is. Irrelevant how eloquent the rhetoric peddler is. They're telling fibs, now tell us who the terrorist is.
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist is. When they put it on me, I tell them this, I'm all about peace and love. They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist is. Insulting my intelligence, oh, how these people judge.
Lumumba Cuba was democracy, Mossadegh was democracy, Allende was democracy, hypocrisy, it bothers me. Call you terrorists if you don't wanna be a colony. Refuse to bow down to a policy of robbery. It's terrorism, my lyrics. When more Vietnam vets killed themselves after the war than died in it, this is very basic. One nation in the world has over 1,000 military bases. They say it's religion when clearly it isn't. It's not just Muslims that oppose your imperialism. It's Hugo Chavez, a Muslim. Nah, I didn't think so. Is Castro a Muslim? Nah, I didn't think so. It's like the definition didn't ever exist. I guess it's all just dependent who your nemesis is. Irrelevant how eloquent the rhetoric peddler is. They're telling fibs, now tell us who the terrorist is.
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. When they put it on me, I tell them this. I'm all about peace and love.
Good evening, Ahmed.
Infidel.
So you're a terrorist?
Yes, I am a terrorist.
What kind of terrorist?
A terrifying terrorist.
Silence! I kill you!